God bless you, saints. Will you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms 63. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'd like to wish all of our fathers a happy Father's Day. Says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for the foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your loving kindness, Lord. As David said, it's better than life, Lord. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you have placed your love upon us, Lord. And you're always mindful, Lord, of us. And we're so grateful that you would come this morning at our invitation, Lord. We welcome you into this service, Lord. Welcome you into this place. Asking, oh God, that you anoint Brother Willie this morning in a special way. Use his lips, Lord, to speak to our ears and to our hearts, Lord, that we may receive your word as it goes forth. And may your word have complete preeminence, Lord. And may your spirit quicken the word to our lives, Father. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for your traveling mercies, asking that you'll be with our brothers and sisters who are still on the road. Lord, grant traveling mercies to them as well. And may we all rejoice in your presence together. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, 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 oh. Let it rise. Just let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Just let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, rise. Just let the glory of the Lord, everybody sing. Just let the glory of the Lord, everybody sing. Just let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. I will let it rise. Glory of the Lord, Everybody say rise. Just let the glory of the Lord, everybody say. Just let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, let it rise. Just let the praises of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Just let the praises of our Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, let it rise. Say, oh. Let's say, say oh, say oh, 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 let it rise. Hey, just let the praises of our Lord, everybody say rise. Hey, let the praises of our Lord, come on, say rise. Just let the praises of our King, let it rise. Come on, say, oh, say, oh, oh, let it rise. One more time. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my desire this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this little song together. You are God alone. That's what He is to me. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. And that's just the way it is. Come on, help me sing. You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. Say, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. say, you are God alone. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. Say, you are God alone. Right now, right now. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, that's just the way it is. Say, you are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God. Right now, right now, in the good time and bad, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God. You are God. Say, you are God alone. Yes, you are on your throne. You are God alone right now. Oh. In the good time and bad, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. You're unshakable, say. Unstoppable, say, Lord, that's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, say, unstoppable, say, Lord, that's what you are. Say, you are God alone. From before time began, on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable, Lord, that's what you are. You're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, Lord, that's say you are God, you are God alone. From before time began, on your throne, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's God? There's no God like our God. Praise the Lord. He is God alone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame, but Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let me drown. How many knows that this morning? Oh,
he could have let me drown, yeah. He could have let me drown. But instead, he took me.
Let's sing that verse again.
I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame, but Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let me drown, yeah, oh, he could have let me drown, he could have let me drown, oh, but instead he took,
hey man, love lifted me.
Say, love lifted me, Lord. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Nothing else could help. Love. Oh, he could have let me drown.
Yes, he could.
Yes, he could have me drown.
I'm so glad he did it.
He could have let me drown.
Well,
but instead he took me in.
Could have let me drown.
Let me drown.
He could have let me drown.
Oh, 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 he could have let me drown. But instead he took,
amen. Say, love lifted me.
Say, love lifted me.
Love, oh,
love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Say, when nothing else could help, when nothing else could help, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, yes. Oh, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, yeah. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Say hallelujah. Oh, glory to the God who changed, to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you, I'll worship you, I'll give you glory. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could hallelujah. Oh, glory to the God who changed, to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you, I'll worship you, I'll give you glory. You deserve it, Lord. Be free so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. We're going to have a special at this time. You may have your seat. Sister Tina, will you come? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. He's worthy.
It's your season to be blessed. You a promise, you stood the test. He's gonna open the windows and pour you out a blessing. It's your season to be blessed. It's your season to be blessed. God made you a promise, you stood the test. He's gonna open the windows and pour you out a blessing. It's your season to be blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the fields. I'm blessed going out, and I'm blessed coming in. to be blessed. God made you a promise. You stood the test. He's gonna open the windows and pour you out a blessing. It's your season to be blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the fields. I'm blessed going out. And I'm blessed coming in. He's gonna open the window and pour you out a blessing. So it's your season. Yes, it is, to be blessed. Hey, it's your season to be blessed. God made you a promise. You stood the test. He's gonna open the windows and pour you out a blessing. It's your season to be blessed. Oh, it's your season to be blessed. God makes you a promise. You stood the test. He's gonna open the window and pour you out a blessing. Oh, it's your season. Yes, it's your season. Oh, it's your season. Yes, it's your season. You held on, child of God. Now it's your season. Don't wait to show when it comes, 'cause it's your season. You have no child of God. You have no child of God. You have no child of God. It's your season. It's your season. It's your season. Yes, it's your season. Yes, it's your season. Yes, it's your season. Hold on, child of God. Hold on, child of God. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. 'Cause it's your season to be blessed.
Do you believe that? Amen. I believe it's our season. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Tina. Amen. We have a few prayer requests up here. Amen. This one's from Brother Wisdom. He says, pray for my daughter-in-law. She is in a hospital. She has developed an infection from a procedure she had done in the hospital. But we all know Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So there's a reason. Then again, please pray for Candace Wisdom. She was hospitalized on yesterday. She has sepsis, which is an infection. Sepsis, which is an infection in the bloodstream. Amen. And also has please keep the Johnson family in prayer. This is from Brother Troy, for the passing of a grandmother this week. Pray that God's will be done in the lines of the left behind. So we want to remember that family. Amen. We want to continue to pray for Sister Willingham. Also Brother Nathan Bryant, his great niece, I believe it was. She has an issue where she needs enzymes, and she's only 2 months old, and they don't expect her to live long. So we want to remember her also this morning. Amen. Will you stand to your feet, and we'll take these requests before the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts this morning, Lord, we realize, Lord, that Satan is attacking the body, Lord. to hear of a little baby just coming into this world and being afflicted and not having a chance to live, but you are God alone. And Father God, hearing of Sister Candace, Lord, in her situation, Lord, the infection that she has, Lord God, you are the God that created the body. Lord, when the doctors can do nothing else, Lord, we know that you can. There's no situation too hard for you. And Father, we just ask, oh God, that your blessings rest upon your children, that you'll move on the scene in a mighty way. Lord, may the doctors be astonished and the family members, oh God, to see your mighty hand move on the scene to heal. And Father, may they come, all of them, Lord, back to you. We want to remember the Johnson family of them losing their grandmother, Lord God. We ask that you grant comfort as only you can and minister to the needs of your people. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all things, for you are our blessed Savior. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Amen. Do we have any announcements, sister? Praise the Lord. We'll read the announcements. We'll ask the brothers to come at this time, and we'll take up this morning's tithing and an offering. Amen. Service this Friday at 7:30. The South Florida Choir Rehearsal Saturday, June 24th at 6. Spirit and Truth Choir Rehearsal June 30th at 7:30. And Pinnacle Palms next Sunday at 5:30. The upcoming meetings, we have a combined services June 25th at 6:30 at the Bride of Christ Tabernacle, Boynton Beach. Also, Brother Fred Life Tabernacle, Saturday, July 1st, Saturday night, and also Sunday, July the 2nd, morning and evening service. Brother Wesco's meetings, July 5th through the 9th. Brother Wesco's birthday picnic, July 8th. If you are going to the picnic, please see Sister Naomi after the service. God bless you, saints. Let's bow our heads one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for every single blessing, Lord. You have blessed us in many ways, Lord God. And a little portion of this, Lord, in a monetary fashion, Lord, we bring our worship to you, Lord. We offer now unto you, O God, this tithing and an offering, asking, O God, that you perform your word as you have said it. For we commit this in your hand for the upbuilding of the kingdom. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'm sorry I forgot the birthdays. Please forgive me. Brother Kenny, on Wednesday, July 21st, I guess he'll be 21 again. Amen. Sister Laura, Sister Linda, Saturday, June 24th. God bless you. Happy birthday, Sister Linda. Praise the Lord.
We worship you. You are here. We worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Say, Waymaker, miracle promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. We worship you. We worship you. Worship you. Way make, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is.
invite Brother Willie at this time. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who. Come on, say it again. Waymaker, promise keeper, you're the light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Miracle workers, promise keeper, light in the darkness, oh, who you are.
Come on, let me hear you, let me hear you.
Waymaker, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are peace. I worship you. I worship you. You walking in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
Come on, let's get a Lord a hand of praise this morning. If you really came to worship the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, he's worthy to be praised. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Now, that's my God. Now, you got to testify for yourself. That's my God. It's personal. Amen. You can only say that if you got a personal experience. That's my God. You know, you get selfish about it. That's, you know how kids are in the family sometimes. That's my daddy. You get to fighting over, you know, how close you are. You know, it was real ironic last week. We had a family reunion and they were acknowledging their mother, some of the family members, and the thing that was so funny, everybody was like, you know what, I'm the favorite, and I'm the this, and I'm the that, you know, and I think that's the way it should be, amen, that's my God, you know, we should have something way down in here to say, boy, that Brother Smiley, that's my God. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come to give thanks and praise for just allowing us another opportunity to come and to be in the service of the living God this morning. We just want to remember Brother Jack, Lord, and up in Washington. Trust that you anoint him this morning in the service. And our little congregation there in Okeechobee. And we just thank you for all things, Father. We just want to remember the Johnsons, Lord, Troy's grandmother passing. And, I could just remember her, Lord, just, you know, over the years, just a real feisty, spunky lady, Lord, with just a lot of character. And, you know, we can't complain. Lord, you gave a full life, 90-some years old. But Lord, we ask that you just comfort the family. Just want to remember the different ones who lost loved ones. Lord, I even thank you for allowing my mother 76 years on the earth today. And that you just continue to bless her and our little family, Lord. And we just ask that you would just anoint us afresh this morning. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. That'd be all the music. How many happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. There's no other place I'd rather be, amen, this morning, but in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that God saw fit to call me, amen, in this hour that we're living in. He didn't have to do it, but it did. He could have allowed me, you know, the way that I was going, and I probably wouldn't even be here. But I'm so grateful. We just want to, as you get your Bibles out this morning, just say Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. I'm not a traditionalist. I don't do things by tradition. I don't have a Father's Day message for you this morning. Unfortunately, not that I couldn't prepare one. There's a lot of things I understand about fatherhood, and I could have preached y'all a Father's Day message, but it wasn't on my heart, none this week. I do that at home sometimes. We have those special days, Easter and all of that, and I just do not, unless I'm directly inspired, I don't do it. But we have to appreciate godly men, you know, and sometimes, brothers, you know, maybe not even godly men, but good men and good fathers. That goes a long way, and so we appreciate you guys this morning. We salute you. We trust that the wife and the children treat you well. Go the extra mile. I see it's a lot of empty seats this morning. I don't know what that's all about, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know y'all got more members than this. Well, y'all a little quiet on me. Y'all a little quiet on me already, and I ain't even got started preaching yet. Now, I think everybody know me, maybe except for the young lady right here in the front. I'm Brother Smiley. But everybody else know me, so y'all don't get too tight and too quiet and all of that stuff like that. I'm here to be a blessing to y'all this morning. I'm not your pastor. I'm just here standing in for him. Amen. On special occasions, and if you, sometimes he can't get here, call me. Bruh, think you can stand in for me? It's hard to tell Brother Jack no. Like, man, I got my own church to pastor in. It's a hot, you know, one of those days where, you know, folk get selfish. We want our pastor to preach. But sometimes I like the opportunity to get away from my church and don't bring nobody where I could just stretch out. I don't have to worry about what I say, you know, have to dull it down. I could just, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. If I feel like I'm a crazy man after a while, don't worry about it. I'm just blowing off a little steam, but we just got a little thought this morning, and it's good to see everybody. It's good to see my classmate, Linda. Amen. And we just want to keep her in prayer. Amen. Lost her husband not too long ago, but we trust that God continue to give her strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, y'all pray for me, because I've kind of been on a Bible series, and I'm in 2 Corinthians, and we want to maybe just read one verse, the sixth verse, and I have you be seated. It says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth for life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. You may be seated this morning. We want to use that as a topic, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But I want to maybe, for a few seconds, background this scripture for a moment. Like I say, I've been on a little, I don't think I'm a serious preacher, but we've kind of been working through the Bible and trying to help folk to understand the scriptures. I don't think it's just enough to be in church, to be identified with a church and not really have an understanding of why you're here and what's actually going on and what's actually taking place. I don't think that that's enough. I don't think God called us just to be good church members. But I think that God called us to equip us to be able to go out and express him to the world. Is that right? I'm going to just touch this real briefly, and then I'm going to get into our thought, and then we're going to get out of here. We started out in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where the believing church, they kind of had a little issue with Paul because they felt like he was a little fickle and somebody that wasn't faithful. He wasn't a man of his word. And we took that as a topic. And you know, I think when we look at the scriptures, everything in the Bible has a reason. And I think that, God allowed Paul, because what was actually taking place was that Paul told the believers that he was going to come, and then he was going to go to Macedonia, and then he was going to come back through on his way back, right? But he, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he didn't come back that way. And that's three sermons that I'd have to preach, but I just want to touch this little point right quick. And the thing of it was, they felt like Paul wasn't a man of his word. And I think it's so important for us as believers to be faithful. That's important to be. If nothing else, be faithful. Be men and women of your word. Because you are your word. You and your word. I remember when I was growing up in New Jersey, and I was kind of young, and we used to kind of just throw things out there. Word is bond. And we could be lying, but word is born with a straight face. Word is born, brother. Word is born. No, you lying, like with your fingers crossed behind your back. Word is born, man, but you lying. But we did not know the depths of that. You're no better than your word. Huh? You're no better than your word. I believe that God requires faithfulness. Faithful people. I think that we're living in a time now where people aren't as faithful as they used to be. We don't see the gospel for what it really truly is in this hour. What we're finding is people are making a whole lot of excuses. But God requires faithfulness, right? And let me tell you something, even as a body, as a church body, you should require that, right? That should be the standard of the church, that we be faithful. Brother, where you at? Sister, where you at? Right? That, because there's a standard that's got to be upheld in the church of the living God. And I think that we all have a part in it. I don't care if you're young or old, to make sure that people are being faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to self. Faithful to relationships. Faithful to family. Oh, glory to his wonderful name. How many believe that this morning? Amen. They were a little upset with Paul, but they didn't really understand. It's another message. I'm going to move on from that. But I just want to drop that off right quick. Because I think when we first became Christians, Brother Troy, we were faithful. Now, I've not changed, but I'm just saying. Folk have changed. I have not changed. I've been faithful for 28 years. Are you perfect, Brother Smile? I didn't say that. I just say I'm faithful. I'm faithful. You can get a hold of me. I'll be in church. When the church doors open, I'll be there. Huh? You won't find me. If I'm going on vacation, I'm going to find me somewhere where I can go and worship, because I feel funny when I can't go give God praise one day out of the week at least. Well, I'm on vacation. How can you ever go on vacation from God? We get so caught up in worldlyism that we forget that we're serving a risen Savior. Be faithful. Let's not make excuses. Well, see, you know, and forget all about that. See, God allows things that happen to try you anyway. Yes, to try you to see where you are, amen, in your Christian walk. Is that right? Uh-huh, yeah. This morning, we're preaching on the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And you know, this is something I preached two sermons on this at home, and I thought that this would be appropriate for this morning to try to help us to see what the gospel really is and how important this understanding is for us. I enjoy shouting. I enjoy good singing, like Sister Tina. Sister Tina was walking with, I'm like, whoa, Lord. Sometimes I just be more like, give me just a little bit of the microphone. Pass off, you know, like we running a race. Let me get my portion in. The voice was acting up when I walked up, but that's all right. But I just like anything that pertains to church. But I think it's important for us to really understand the fullness of the gospel and what we have and how we're supposed to be operating, amen, as believers, right? Like I say, we've shouted, we've screamed, we've rolled on the floor, we've snotted, we've done all of that, right? And that's wonderful, but you know, that don't get you that far apart from understanding. See, because if you don't understand, that still the world can still have the world gonna pull at you anyway, right? But you have no resistance apart from your understanding, amen. Why he went to Calvary and died for you? I wanna just strike something because I think that, you know, it's real funny that and I've been around a little while, and our mindset, and sometimes you have to change the way that people look at things and the way that people approach things. A lot of times our mindset, when we come to church, just looking for some great swelling something. Some great mystery that's been broken. My, to walk out and say, boy, that was a deep, that was, you know how we do. Oh, brother, Lord, did you hear that? Did you hear that sermon? Did you see how he tied those quotes together? He tied this scripture with this quote with this. Oh, my. And then a lot of times you ask people, well, what did he really actually preach? Well, that's another story. Right? And I believe in sermons. And I believe in sermons. We got to have sermons. We got to have good teaching because those are the things that anchor us, right? But Paul is going to bring us into something that I think is important for us, right? Because he's talking about ministry, right? If you go back and really do some research and study, and even in your footnotes, if you got a Scofield Bible, a part of the outline is dealing with ministry. Yeah. And I think people don't really understand ministry. Right. But I'm going to help you this morning. Right? And y'all don't quit. I ain't going to be long. If you don't quit, I won't be long. But if y'all start getting tired, I'm going to just preach for y'all a good while. 2-hour message. No, I ain't got 2 hours in me. I've been going all weekend. Now watch this statement that the prophet, he makes here and speak to the rock. He says, so that we could understand the gospel in its entirety. He said the gospel is not altogether the word. Right? Amen. Sometimes, you know, it's like the word, the way. Yeah, it's more to it than just the word. Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. Amen. He says, now the gospel is not altogether the word. Uh-huh. He said, now this is the word of God, and all things must be based upon the word. Uh-huh. Right? All things must be based upon. And see, this is where I think people misunderstand the ministry of Malachi 4, right? a part of what his ministry was all about is to base all of our understanding on something. Because, see, you can't really have faith. You really don't have faith unless you can have your it based upon something. Faith has got to be based on something. Right? Our coming here has got to be based on something. It's not a, you got to be able to base your entire, amen, existence somewhere tied to something. I see, I'm here because of this scripture. Huh? I come to church because of this scripture. I'm saved because of these scriptures. See, I got somewhere to base this on. So that when people come, you know, and try to criticize and downplay, you're like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me take you right here. 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 See, my understanding is based on something. Right? Faith has got to be based upon the word of God. What you believe has got to be based upon the word of God. It's not just in emotions. Emotions don't do, because we don't always feel emotional. But we got to have somewhere to base coming to church and what we believe in our stand. If you don't, you're not going to, amen, make it. Right? Amen. But that ain't in it all alone in itself. Right? That's not the complete gospel. But that's important. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
See, you can be emotional. You could come to the altar. You could scream. And see, I've seen all of that. Sometimes these things worry me. They worry me when I see people get off the altar from screaming and hollering and snotting and all of this and that and the other. And then you don't see them no more. We work in the church. We do different things in the church and things of that nature. And then next thing you know, we disappear. We better than Houdini. Right? And I think the reason why is because it's just emotions. It's just mental. We're presuming. And we haven't found any place to base all of this on. See? And then if you don't, you're still searching. You're still seeking, and then you think it's out there. It's not out there. I'm a living witness of that. It's not out there. That's death. The wages of sin is still death. But there's a true gift that's been given. That's eternal life. Right? And no matter how much you seek it out there, you're not going to find it. See, because God places a thirst in us, and only God can quench the thirst. Now, you know, we could go along with it. Let me get off that. I don't want nobody to say Brother Smiley to come in and beat us up today. But you know, you want people to be sure. See, and in 20-some years of ministry and being around different types of meetings and seeing people and crying this and that and all of the, that, and then you don't see them.
Right.
Right? Then you see people in church, you know, for a good little minute, and then all of a sudden they disappear. Why?
Right.
Because it was emotional, it was sensation, but they don't have any place to base that on. Not that it's not here. It's the job of the ministry to take the word of God and try to anchor it. So it's something that's beyond just emotions and sensation. See, and this is the thing that I preach to my church all the time. Because we see people, and boy, Brother Westco meeting, getting ready to come, and boy, folk get geared up. We get all worked up for July. We can't serve God till July come. Well, We can't be happy about church till July come. Huh? We can't give God praise. We can't amen the pastor till July come. You know, when July getting ready to roll around, you know, folks start, you know, halfway wanting to give God praise. We get the, you know, I want to be in the choir now. We can't hardly hear you when just the regular song service, but now we want to be in the choir. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, preach, Brother Smiley. But what are you doing the rest of the year? This, you know what? That's a sad revival. That's sad. To be able to serve God 1 weekend out of the year. To give God your all 1 weekend out of the year. That's a shame. That's a shame. Man, I want to serve God every time I walk through the doors. You know, Sister Bernice sang a song, I can't hardly wait till the church doors open. Till the singing and the shouting and the praising begin. You know, that the night knowing I'm going to church the next day, man, I get restless, Brother Troy. I can't just to think. I don't know what he going to preach, but, buddy, I can't wait to get there. It used to be a time, Brother Troy, you know, when we used to go to those meetings, Brother Troy, Tina, you know, we the young people back then. Now we the grandparents and all that kind of stuff. But back then, we were the young people, you know. And you go to the meetings, and man, it's like soon as you start hearing people, you could feel it. In the auditorium, you could just feel it. And boy, when the music start playing, man, they can't even contain themselves. They play a song that the folk know. They start humming it. They start humming it, then they start singing it. Then the song leader says, "Isn't I we're going to get this thing on now?" Man, now you know you gotta pump us and pry us and all. Well, let me leave that alone. Oh no, I ain't gonna come to preach that. But that's the way that. Give me that old time. Come, see. Y'all supposed to have been with me. Huh? Glory to God. That'll kill us. Let me keep moving. I'll take a sidebar on you in a minute. You know, I'm an inspirational preacher. I just go where he leads me. Where he leads me, that's where I go. But he says, now the gospel is not altogether the word. So this is the word. How many believe that? And all things must be based upon the word. If it isn't, it isn't true. Right? No matter what, you know, no matter how much we come here, if we don't have a word based to what we believe, it don't mean nothing. Right? Y'all don't quit on me. Right? See? So that's why it's important that when Brother Jack is preaching, man, sometimes you write that stuff down, you go back and study it yourself, you pray over those different things. You just don't want to take for granted, you know, that you're part of something that may not be true. But if you could find it in the word of God, if you could find it in the word of God, you know you got yourself something. Right? You know you got yourself something. And like I was saying, I think that was a part of what the ministry of Malachi 4 was all about, the turning of the heart, was to get us away from the traditions, right? And denominationalism, which you cannot base on the word, right? You cannot tie denominationalism back to the word. Come on. You cannot do it. Right? God never started a denomination. Every denomination was started by man. If you go back to the book of Acts, they were just given the name of Christians, right? After the people in their surroundings saw the life of Christ on display. Right? Amen. But it wasn't no denomination. It wasn't no Baptist, no Methodist, no Presbyterian, no this, no that. God never started that. Right? Amen. God just established word-abiding believers. He established a church based upon the principles of the word, what he had given to them. Right? Amen. But denominationalism, he never started. See? And so this is why we needed a seer to help us to see the error. Not to really dis-Christianize us, but to show us if we're true believers, we'll come to the word. As we see the light, we'll walk therein. See? Amen. But it wasn't that he was trying to dis-Christianize us, but to give us a basis for what we say we believe. Right? Amen. You go here, why? You over here, why?
That's right.
God is leading me. Okay, show me.
Right.
And it can't be emotions.
Yeah.
Right? It's got, base it on the word of God, your leading. Right? Because all things, I just read it, has got to be based upon the word of God.
Yeah.
Your stance, what you believe, why you go to a certain place. Why you do certain things. Why you act the way that you act. Right? You got to be able to base it upon the scripture. Well, I hope I get the way I want to go. You got to be. You got to be able to base it upon the scripture. Now, you talk to me. I could base what I believe and where I stand, right, on the word of God. I don't have no problems with that. But see, we don't want you to have any problems with that. Because we're no different than any other age, right? When Paul and Peter them preached, they said, you know, grievous wolves would raise up. You would have these false anointed ones and things of that nature that will rise up and influence, right? Influence, not the true believer. Because the true believer has based his stand upon the word and what he believes on the word of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It can't just be intellectual conception.
That's right.
Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, the devil do too and tremble.
That's right.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm trying to get the letter killer, but the spirit to give it life. Now, I tell you what, after the day, you just get to give you something to think about, right? That's just beyond just a sermon and just preaching, because we've had that long enough. Just that. Nothing wrong with that. We need that, right? But I'm trying to take us somewhere, right? To help us when we come to church and we hear sermons, we hear scriptural principles that's being related to us, we have to have another mindset, right? But I'm still working. I think y'all gonna work me good today. All right? But he says, but Jesus says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, he didn't say teach. He did say teach in one place, but what he's actually alluding to is to demonstrate. Right? Because we've placed so much emphasis on a great sermon. And wow, wasn't that deep? But not realizing that's not the full thing.
Yeah.
Right? See? And see, Paul says, he says, I didn't come to y'all with excellency of speech. Right? Because Paul realized the full gospel only exists when it's the word and the manifestation of the word. One doesn't work to the exclusion of the other. Right? Amen. But one is incomplete with, they work as they come together. Right? The word and the manifestation of the word, they work as they come together. And see, I think we've been so carried away and we so become so ritualistic that mind I was deep and he was shallow and he was this and he ain't that. And we're missing the gospel. And this is why people's lives are wrecked up. Because we, when we come to church, we don't really realize sometimes what we're supposed to be looking for when we come, right? It's good to hear a sermon. You're supposed to come to hear a sermon. I made a reference. I was using the statement the prophet made, and he was talking about we come to church to find out our faults. We come to church to find out our faults. And, you know, we was having a little study, and somebody raised their hand and say, Brother Smiley, that's confusion. I understand my faults. Not fully. let me tell you something, church. Y'all don't fully know y'all. Huh? You say, what? How can that be? God knows you better than you know yourself. Huh? God can take you deeper. Deeper than your understanding of yourself. Right? Because we have, you know, sometimes issues and things that we go through. God can take you so deep and really open that thing up to you in such a way under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to set you free. Well, I know me, and I this and I that. You do, but God knows you better than you know yourself. How many believe that? Amen. God knows the very intimate details, right? And God also knows how to set you free from the things, amen, that's got folk bound. Yes, sir. Amen. Do y'all believe that? Amen. Now, I believe that. So when we say, well, we come to church to find out our faults, I believe that. Because God, you know, I take for instance, there was a time where the prophet of God was working with a lady who had a nervous condition, right? And went to doctors and didn't realize why, you know, how she could be in this condition, right? She knows she had a problem, but it took God to come down on the scene and said, you know what? You nervous because a dog got at you when you was young. Y'all ought to talk to me. Something just that simple. A dog chased you when you were young. You running from a dog caused you to be nervous as an adult. Huh? She couldn't go deep enough to find the cause, but God could. And expose it in order to set her free. He set me free. He set me free. God can go deeper than we can in our intellectual conception of who we are as individuals. Right? Oh, glory to his name. I hope y'all are right this morning. Y'all just stay with me. I'm gonna go as far as I can. Give me about 20 minutes and I'm going to let you go this morning. But we're talking about the letter killeth, right? And see, the gospel is not altogether the word. Now hold that in your thoughts, right? Amen. See, like we were just saying, so the gospel consists of more than teaching the word. Wow. It's more to it than that. Yes. It's more to it than just teaching the word, right? For Paul confirming said the gospel came not to us, not in word only. Right? And see, sometimes people come to church just to hear a sermon and go out and they all right with just the sermon. But I ain't just all right with just the sermon. See, the sermon has got to become a reality. If the sermons don't become a reality, then God is not God and it's not the gospel in its fullness. Right? The gospel is not in word only. See? And if we don't have our minds altered, then we're going to be in trouble. Right? Because we'll come and hear a sermon and go, all right, go right out. Brother Jack preached a wonderful sermon. He stirred your emotion. Let me tell you something. I could have y'all shouting in the next 5 minutes. Right? Because I know how to appeal to the humanistic part of humanity, but I ain't here to do that this morning. I'm here to just kind of give us something that'll help us to go further. Right? See? Men go to school to learn psychology. They know what to feed you to stimulate you, to make you shout, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah, Allah, and then get that money out your pocket. See, they know how to do that. They get trained. I could do that too, but I'm not here to do that. I'll try to give folks something that'll carry them. Right, we something that carry us when the hard times come, when the troubles come, when it seems like our world is falling apart. You got something that'll carry you, huh? Amen. You know, David had something to carry him. David was confronted with a situation where him and the brother was out and the enemy came in and took his whole household and their household, the children and everything else. And the brethren got mad at him, said, boy, we ought to just kill you, David. You know, that's pressure. When your friends and your co-workers and everybody turned it back on you. But David had something. Huh? David said, you know what? I might be by myself right now, but I've learned I'll encourage myself in the Lord. And see, this is the thing that I try to bring to people. Give them enough God, right? Enough word that you know what? You can encourage yourself when you're by yourself. When you can't get a hold of the pastor, amen, you've been given enough something to encourage yourself. Because look, life is not always gonna be easy. Huh? Amen. Life is not gonna be easy always. We're gonna have our ups and our downs. And let me tell you something. When just seem like your world is being turned upside down, it reveals the true you. It really shows who you really are. When it just seemed like the devil coming at you from every side. And you could still stand and overcome. It really shows what's the real you. Because it's easy to come to church and feel good about things when you got money in your pocket and a good job and you're feeling, you know, that don't reveal the true you. Right? It's fine. Man, I got $1 million in the bank. I'm riding good and everything else, you know. But you know, like Job had it good. Job was doing wonderful, faring good, had a lot of stuff. Job had a lot of stuff. And then God said, Satan, where you been? Oh, I just going to and fro. You know, I'm just wreaking havoc everywhere I can. Well, okay. Well, I see you've been all over. But have you considered my servant Job? Huh? Right?
God had confidence in Job. Huh? Have you considered Job? Why? I looked at him, but it looked like you got your hands about him and everything. And he said, look, let me tell you something. I'll move it out the way. You can do anything you want to do to her, but whatever you just don't take his life. Huh? All of a sudden, Job standing there and Job feeling like, boy, all is well. I can imagine him singing. All is well. Y'all know how we do. We get real deep with it. We be leaning and rocking with it. We have heard the message. Money in our pocket, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back. Everything good, riding good, the car riding good, the chilling doing good. And then all of a sudden, here come a bad report. Job, have you just heard? And then in an instant, in an instant, world turned upside down. Huh? Glory be his name. But Job, you know what? Job was a worshiper. Huh? You know, when he told him about his chilling, and you know, way back when they were cutting up and everything, he just pre-adventure, they ain't doing what they supposed to be doing. Well, I'm just going to go down and intercede on their behalf.
Right.
Huh? That's real father, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
A real father pray for his children. That's your Father's Day message. Real quick, inspiration. A real father pray for his children. Huh? A real father stand in his gap, regardless of their condition. A real father. You know, a real father has to go through some stuff with their children.
Yeah.
When they doing things that boy, you know, you realize you raised them a certain way, and then, but a real father standing in the gap for them. See, a real, you know what? A real father knows where he's based his stand. See, he's been given a promise.
Right?
Amen. And see, this is why the gospel is not in just word only, but in demonstration and power. Right? You got somewhere to base it upon. Yeah, they're doing this, but the word says. And there's where I'm standing at. I'm standing where the word says I got a promise for my children. Huh? Well, boy, I tell you what. Well, we just got a good word today. But did you really get a good word today? I just said something. Huh? You could get a good word today and leave out of here and you ain't really got nothing. Because you heard it, but you didn't hear it. Y'all don't believe that. You can hear it and not hear it. Right? Because you don't get the results. See, I want the results. Right? I want the results from the sermon. If I don't get the result from the sermon, then it's not the gospel. Because they work as they come together. See? But I think we watch this. He says, in order to preach the gospel, before you can make it the gospel preached, then you've got to have the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost to prove the gospel. Wow. See? I'm going to keep going. He said, let her kill it in the spirit, make it the lie. So it's just not a ritualistic affair. And I'm kind of convinced that we've made this thing a ritualistic affair. We got our little rituals, our little thing that we do. Y'all don't quit on me now. We got this little ritual. It's just ritual. Right? We come to church. We sit in our same seats. Yeah. Our same little area. Uh-huh. Huh? Everything about it. You know, we come up and we sing songs and 30 minutes. Uh-huh. Now, I know you got to have order, but I'm just saying how we could make this thing ritualistic.
Yes.
And not inspiring.
Well, I got to sing. I got to sing to 30 minutes, and then I got to bring the preacher on.
Come on, now, work with that.
Huh? Well, what if God want to come 40 minutes? Because to me, don't bring me up in no dead atmosphere. If it take 45 minutes, sing another 10 minutes. I be sometimes, even at home, I be like, Lord, somebody get somebody a mic to do something, you know, so that when I walk up there, I can walk up in an atmosphere. But, you know, because sometimes it's like we've made it so ritualistic. It's like time to make the donuts. Huh? That's how we come to church. Time to make the donuts. We like, Brother Jack, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you have to wonder, man, come on, man. You need to go back out the door. People, y'all don't believe that. We could make church going a ritualistic affair. Wednesday and Sunday and Friday, ritualistic. We know we're going to have this service. Ritualistic with no real fire, no real joy, no real conviction, no real anything. It's just ritual time to make the donuts. You know how people live, but I've been working on this job for 20 years. I'm tired of this. We done lost the joy of it, just the everything of it. Huh? I was talking to a lady, principal, last week at our family reunion thing they had, my wife's family, and she was saying that, you know, she was a principal, and she would 30 minutes cry before she got to go to work and 30 minutes cry on her way home. I said, that's bad. Huh? Well, you got to stop and cry for 30 minutes before you walk in the building. And then on your way home, you got to stop 30 minutes to get it out. That's bad. You done lost all the joy. The joy of it. See, that's got to be a joy in coming to church. See, if it get ritualistic, you're going to start dreading coming to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. You're going to start dreading it. Oh, here comes Brother Jack. What he going to say today? I know that's Brother Jack. I know he gonna do this. And man, I tell you what. See? Who told him? who told him? I know somebody telling on me. Huh? It's so easy to just get caught up, right? I hope this helped you. Free us. Because we're supposed to be in revival. But we could get so carefree and ritualistic and it don't mean anything. And then when Brother Jack do preach something, whatever. That's our attitude. See, we people have gotten to the place now where people don't really respect the presence of God anymore.
That's right.
Huh? You can preach fire and brimstone all you want. People just sit there and look at you. It used to be a time you even mentioned hell and people that wasn't right. They'd be like, man, please, I ain't leaving this building like this. And now you can preach your heart out. People walk, turn their head up and keep on going. Good sermon. Good sermon. See? That's not the way it should be. Right? Never make it ritualistic. Right, I don't want anything as it pertains to God just to be ritualistic. Man, I want to be in such a place that I can meet God in my car riding down the street. You ever been riding down the street, man, and a song or something come to your mind of how good God has been to you? And you just water start, y'all ain't with me this morning. Water start rolling down your eyes and your eyes start getting blurry till you have to pull over. Sometimes you just be over on the side of the road, boo-hoo. Ooh, God, thank you, Jesus. Man, I remember not too long ago, maybe a few months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, I was working up in Louisiana for a friend of mine, and oh Lord, I get to talking like this, boy, I like to break down. If I do, don't worry about it. I got to talking to him because his brother was struggling with crack cocaine. And if you ever smoke crack, you know what I'm talking about. His brother was struggling with crack, and I was just telling the church a few weeks ago. I was just telling the church about some experiences I had when I was on crack and how people treated me and things of that nature, my family, and all, and my uncle being a pastor. I lived with him and worked with him, and instead of him being in a position to help me spiritually. Right. He was who he was, though. He was just immature. Yeah. And you know, I knew that I had a problem, but he should have been in a position to help me. Right. But instead, you know, I don't know. I'd be working, and I done blowed all my money on the weekend. When you old crack, we get the call, and your boy don't care if you got to pay the light bill, the water bill, or no other bill. He's like, I got to have it all. Right. Huh? And so on Monday morning, I'd be broke. But I was a workhorse. I was the hardest worker on the team. But I'd be hungry. Boy, hey, no, I ain't got no food. He wouldn't help me. Now, and I know that I was his right not to help me. But sometimes, I mean, I was like the woman that was willing to take the scraps. All right. But he throw it in the garbage. Boy, I be sitting there like, Lord, I know he ain't just throwed all that rice in the garbage, knowing I'm hungry, and laughing at me. And I was testifying to the church. And so when I went to Louisiana, by the time I got there, the young man had went off, spent all his money. Somehow he had got to the hood and found him something to smoke. Uh-huh. Right? And his brother was having a hard time with it. He was wrong. I'm not saying he's right. But see, being a Christian, I felt like, you know, we at some point we got to overlook those things, right? And so, you know, I couldn't see the man. I know what it's like to be on crack and hungry and working. He was working. I'm like, there's no way in the world I got money. I'm going to sit here and watch this young man not eat. And so I got the, and see, let me show you how powerful God is. I got to sharing this thing with his brother. We was in a house, and he wasn't, the other brother that was on drugs, he wasn't nowhere around, but I was sharing this with his brother. And as I got to talking about it, just to show you, amen, the kind of God we serve and just being in a place with God, I got to sharing it, and then God brought all of that back to my remembrance. And when he did, I got choked up, and I just boohooed like a baby. And he couldn't understand, like, what's going on. He didn't realize he was in the presence of God. It was twofold. It was conviction to him, but it was a blessing to me. But just talking about it, see, God tried me. See, that not realizing God allowed that to happen, not that God forced him to get high. But God knew that I was coming. God knew my story. And God says, you know what? I'm going to try you. I'm going to see exactly what you're going to do. I'm going to see if you're going to let this man go hungry like your uncle used to let you go hungry. I couldn't do it. God came down. And the more I talked about it, the more I cried. And he was like, oh, Will, I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, you don't even know what's going on here. This is the presence of the Lord, amen, just baptizing me once again. Huh? We got to be in such a relationship with God that God will come down, amen, you know, in your bedroom, in your car, in the classroom. When you less, you know, when you ain't even thinking about it, and one thought, here he comes. I don't know if we even serve that kind of God anymore. Do we even look for those types of blessings anymore? Oh, so ritualistic. I got to just wait. I got to wait till the minister comes and stand there and pull. You know, I never pull. You'll never see me wrestling with people about the altar. I know it's somebody out there. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Why? Because if it's God, you ain't going to sit in your seat and wait for 15 people to go to the altar before you decide to get up. When it's God, you ain't going to be ashamed of who's looking at you and what people care. All you know, man, I need something from the Lord today. Right? I need God to come down. Sometimes it don't even have to do with sin. We think every time somebody comes to the altar, well, what they done. Sometimes you ain't done nothing. You just need a touch. You know, when you're in a relationship, every now and again, you just need your mate to just touch you. Huh? Touch you. Throw your arms around you. You know, they ain't always got to say nothing. The human touch has power. The human touch. Amen. You know, a baby, you know, to his mother, the human touch, it can't relate itself, but amen, the comfort it has in the human touch. Sometimes I just need God to touch me. Huh? To throw his arms around me when nobody has told me in a minute it's going to be all right, you're going to be all right. Huh? I know I didn't say all right. I said all right. Huh? God comes down, throw his arms, say it's gonna be all right. Huh? You. I promise. See, cause this is the gospel. I'll never leave you nor forsaken you. 28 years, God has never forsaken me. I've gone through some things. As a pastor, man, I've gone through things. Huh? Amen. Sometimes, you know, you get folks say, well, boy, I want to be a preacher. You sure? I feel led. I want to be a pastor. You sure? You better check it. Huh? You better check it. Because it get hard. If you ain't called to a certain thing, don't attempt it. Because you ain't going to make it. Sometimes I think, you know, people see people doing certain things and it look easy. I remember one time my brother-in-law, Vaughn, I took him to work some years ago, Troy, and he saw me taking the mud off the hawk. He said, why do I look easy? I said, here, how you get it off of there? I said, you just said it look easy. Huh? Sometimes, you know, with dealing with our children, our children nowadays, I tell you what, they don't realize sometimes what they got. Because sometimes we make it look easy. They don't know you struggle. They don't know sometimes you struggle, but sometimes you just make things look easy. They don't realize, boy, it's a lot that goes along with fatherhood. There's a lot, I'm telling you something. It's a lot that goes along with manhood and being a man and being a husband and being a father. It's a whole lot. Huh? Sometimes, you know, I'm going to get up out of here. Sometimes, you know, I'm going to give you your Father's Day message right quick and I'm going to dance. Sometimes, you know, with young men, they feel like, well, you know, if I see a nice little young lady, I won't get mad. Do you really? You better talk to somebody. You better talk to somebody that got some gray in their beard. Huh? You better get some information first. Huh? Because, man, walking down the aisle and everybody up here looking good and all that, man, that ain't the marriage. Huh? That's just a little ceremony. After you say I do, then here come the devil.
And then when them little rug rats start coming, oh Lord, huh, man, and you got to have something that you're basing, amen, husband on, fatherhood on, manhood on. You know what? This is why our young men are in the condition that they are in. Because they do not have anything to base being a man on.
You have to thank God for true fatherhood.
You know, I didn't have a good father. I didn't have a good father. He was alcoholic. I didn't have a good father. I didn't have a good example before me. But you know what? In the back part of my mind, I knew that, you know what? Looking at him is an indication of what I do not want to be. And quiet as it kept, I was going in that same footsteps until God. And it's been God these last years. And sometimes, you know, my children, they don't understand me. They think I'm crazy, man. I'm tough. I'm mean. It's like one day when you get where I am, you're going to be able to look back and say, you know what, I had a good daddy. And I just couldn't recognize him. I couldn't understand him, right? I've been through some stuff, right? Sometimes even as a pastor, you know, my own church, they look at me like, this guy's just, I don't understand, Brother Smiley. I've been through some stuff. I mean, I know it from both standpoints. I know the world, I know church. And because of what I understand, I fight hard against the devil that's trying to wipe people out. And people don't understand that. People, they see your emotions and everything and not realizing you working, amen, on their behalf. Because you see what the enemy is trying to do. And sometimes they think, you know, we think that a pastor is somebody that's supposed to be some pacifist. Somebody that's just going to let us do what we want to do. And that's all, praise God. That ain't no pastor. That ain't no man that loves you. A man that really loves you, he'll say, don't do that.
Right. Amen.
You really love him, you're going to let him stand in the street and get struck down by a car? That ain't love, man. Come on. We done got it jacked up in this hour. But a real man of God will stand behind the pulpit if it tears hard out and preach you the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's a real man. But the real full gospel is not in word only, but in demonstration and power. Where when the word is preached, watching God, and I'm going to close, watching God come behind that and confirm his word, making the preached word a living reality. That's the gospel. Give me the sermon, but after the sermon, I want to see God. If in the sermon it says he'll have a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, I want to be identified with that, and I want to see that come to pass. If it don't, it ain't the gospel. If God says, amen, that he's a healer, if I get sick, I want to see God come on the scene and confirm his word, make that a living reality.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If not, it's not the full gospel. Right? If God has spoken concerning a body change and a rapture, and he don't do it, he ain't God. He's not God. Huh? But if God has said it, if he said it, he's got to be true to his word. It's got to be a living reality. God, the supernatural, the power of God coming on the scene. See, we've made it intellectual, right? And this is why people aren't getting truly converted. Huh? Because we've made the gospel intellectual.
Right.
Hmm? It used to be, go back and study the history of revivals. When the Pentecostal revival started, amen, in 1906 back at Azusa Street, man, people were, amen, getting truly saved, transformed, changed, freed. The revival has not stopped. Huh? I'm in a revival. And see, my expectation and your expectation should be seeing people walk through those doors and be changed. You witness to somebody. You watch the power of influence. Right? Your mere testimony, your mere life, because your written epistles read and known of all men. People watch and live life. We done heard sermons. Huh? We done heard sermons. But we want to see the effects. If we're not seeing the effects of the sermons, we need to stop preaching. Huh? Because all we got is the letter. Right? And people are dying. For every sermon, we should be under expectation. If within a sermon, the things that we grasp, the promises that's been spoken, we should be under expectation for the manifestation of the sermons, the supernatural, the power of God moving in to confirm his word. Because he says word won't return to him void. But that it accomplished. Not just the letter. The letter kill it. See? The letter kill it. Right? Amen. But the spirit. We want the spirit of God moving in on the word to confirm the word. If not, we just got dead ritualistic sermons. And no changes. No changes in the lives. Let me tell you something, church. You can just come here all you want to. And if God is not changing your life, you are not going in no rapture. Huh? Because you have got to be in a condition to go in the rapture. Coming to church is not enough. See? Modern day ministry have watered the thing down so much, man. That it's sad that people in bad shape in church.
Yes,
I don't fault people. And you trust that God be merciful.
Right.
But true ministry recognizes that, look, man, you got to be in rapturing condition.
Yes,
there's got to be a life. Let the musicians come. There's got to be a life behind the name.
Right.
You got to be able to see changes. If not, you won't be going to no rapture. Huh? See, because the rapture is a change. We know rapture ain't in the Bible, right? It talks about being changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. But the change has got to be taking place on a constant basis. Right? See, I realize, you know, this morning I'm being raptured. There's a rapture going on. Within me. You say, well, I don't see nothing. You got to be able to see it and understand it by revelation. You got to be seeing your change. Can you say, I can see my change? Not the next person's change. Your change. You got to be able to see where I'm being changed from glory to glory. I'm not what I was yesterday. Can you say that? Boy, I tell you what, that was kind of rough. That was kind of rough. Now, this ain't a trick thing. You got to be able. Now, I'm not talking about Brother Johnson's change, the trust change. Your own. You got to be able to look at your own personal life and know. If it ain't but one any bitty step, you know what? I've made a step in the right direction. Can you say that? You know what? I know I'm not what I'm supposed to be. But I could look back on last month and know
I've made one step in the right direction. And I know, man, when the trump of God sounds, I'll be there. When if I'm alive and remaining, right, I know that, man, I'll be quickened. I'll get another body. I'll meet the group in the air. If you can't say that, church, you better go farther in God. Huh? You better, because it's not religion. Y'all love him this morning? I tell you what, boy, I feel good this morning. I feel good. It's the gospel is not just in word only. Y'all got that much?
Amen.
I know I kind of been,
yes, sir,
a little all over the place, but I'm not home. When I'm home, I'll kind of stay right. But I realize it's not that only, but it's in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. When God could come into this word and make the word live, make it a living reality. If it ain't a living reality, man, we don't have ourselves nothing. We need to put the locks on the door, stop paying the man, and stop coming. Is that right? Come on, y'all give me something. I don't know. Y'all give me something. I guess Brother Johnson. Let's just all stand this morning. Y'all just remember Brother Jack in prayer there. He'll be back this week. Just went out to his uncle's promotion. Just a wonderful thing. I never thought I'd be identified with a lieutenant general, a three-star general. That's a real blessing to be able to be identified with him. Amen. Just pray for them as they prepare to come home. Guess tomorrow. Pray for one another. We appreciate all your brothers. As fathers, we trust that, you know, Mother's Day, boy, they go all out for the mothers. Poor Father's Day. Lord have mercy. I asked my family last night on our way home, what y'all gonna do for me for Father's Day? It got quiet. It like, Lord have mercy. They probably be saying, you got all the money? I like, yeah, that's what I do for me. Every time I get ready, it's Father's Day for me. I'll sit right away, Father's Day. But I told my wife, I say, boy, I done run out. I don't want to go to no restaurants. All I want to do when I leave church, I'm coming home and kick my heels up in the air. Like Brother Van would say, sit in the cool air and let it blow on me. Amen. But that's just me. Amen. I don't be looking for nothing from him. I just mess with him. But I trust that y'all be good to the brothers. I tell you what, sisters, if you got a good man, you better hold on to him. Better treat him good. Treat him nice. Make him feel special. Amen. Don't make it one day. Don't make it one day. Amen. Let the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, Brother Johnson.
Praise the Lord. How many appreciated the message? Amen. Come on, saints. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Can you give me the lyrics for this song, sister?
Give my best to you. I want to do what you ask me to. I want to go wherever you say. Just say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. I give you more. Oh. I give you more. I want to give my best to you. I want to do what you ask me to. I want to go wherever you say, to say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. I give you more, more. I give you more, more.
Deserving of more.
You're deserving of more. You're deserving of more. You're deserving of more. You're deserving of more. You're deserving of more. You're deserving of more. You're deserving of more. Serving of. Say, I give you more. I give you more. I give you more. I give you more. One more time. I give you more. I give you more. I give you more. I give you go wherever you say, to say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. And I give you more, more. I give you more, more.
Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I really don't know that song. I was trying to hear y'all. Well, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord, for the word that we've heard this morning. Father, we don't just want to hear a sermon, Lord. We want to live, Lord, exactly what you have given us. Father, as the minister ministers the word to us during these services, Lord, we're supposed to go out and preach the world a sermon by a life lived. It's you abiding in us, Lord, to reach the peoples of this world that they may see the light. Lord, we're longing to go home, but we can't go home without our brothers and sisters whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. They must come in. Help us, Lord God, to be witnesses, Lord. Help us to live the life that you would have us live as we give it to you. Have your way, Lord, with your children, Lord, as we depart this place. Keep each one safe and out of harm's way. Father, again, we're so grateful, Lord, for what we see in Sister Linda, Lord. Seeing the pictures, Lord, and the family surrounding her and the smile that's on her face after seeing Brother Darrell go home, Lord, continue to comfort her. Continue to give her strength, Lord. Continue to bless her abundantly, Lord. May she feel the love of Almighty God through the people of God. Always, Lord, we commit our sister. We commit our brothers and sisters into your hands. Thank you for bringing Brother Willie our way. Bless him indeed, Lord. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats, and our brethren will come and dismiss you at this time. God bless you.